We at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth. It is living. It is active. It's the only infallible way of faith and practice. It's uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we need to know what it says, and we need to believe what it says. Hear God's word as it comes to us out of Joshua. Our message this morning basically comes out of the whole story and involves the whole chapter. I'm going to read to you the first five verses. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. And then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men, and do this for 6 days. Have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the peoples give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray a moment. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to minister to us, to move among us, to teach us, to give us understanding, to show us, Lord, real clear what you want us to do, how you want us individually and as a church to respond to your word. Oh God, minister that grace as we now wait before you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, this is the last of our story through the first six chapters of Jericho. In the early chapters of Jericho, in these six chapters, we're all about God's taking his people out of the desert, out of the wilderness, wandering aimlessly, no place to go, into a place of purpose and calling, into the promised land, his promised land, of walking faithfully and fruitfully with him. We've been gleaning life lessons from these first five chapters over the last weeks, and we're going to end it this morning with the conquest of Jericho, the last major barrier to the people going into and possessing the land. God had been preparing the people, his people, for victory. And he was teaching them to believe in his promises. That's what this story is all about. He's preparing us in the same way, and he's trying to teach us in the same way how to move out of the desert places in our life into the promised places of our life with God. To be bold and courageous, that's what it was all about in those first chapters. To have faith, trust in a bigger plan, and follow God no matter what. That was the message of Rahab. To see obstacles from God's perspective, not ours. To see that flooded Jordan as God saw that flooded Jordan, and allow ourselves to experience the miracle. God's all about moving in our lives. His presence, his intervention, his guidance, the supernatural, that's God. The natural, that's us. We want the supernatural. We need the supernatural. To realize how sacred their relationship with God really was, really is. He's holy. We're not. to realize that we need to devote ourselves to Him, to walking in His path, standing in His presence, if we ever want to be the people of God that He desires and created us to be and that we want to be ourselves. And this morning, we take down the walls. We tend to expect God's promised land to be a place where we just sort of sit back and enjoy. No troubles, no worries, no problems at all. You know, that was certainly my thought. Not that when I became a Christian all that happened, but somehow you think that the Christian walk should be an easier walk. But often, that's not the case. Indeed, often, that the responsibilities of the promised land are sometimes far greater than they were in the desert. The rewards are much bigger, and the stakes are also much higher. There's a sense which the desert life isn't all that bad, you know? You think about it. If you don't mind mediocrity, if you don't mind just being ho-hum, the people of Israel may not have had abundance, but they had enough to get by, right? They didn't have to work. God provided them with manna. They didn't have to tend the fields. They didn't have to worry about enemies attacking them from the outside because they didn't have anything an enemy would want. They didn't even feel compelled to keep all the religious laws. We learned that last week. They were pretty much just existing. That's the desert life. That's the desert life. Some people are content to stay in the desert all their lives, and they don't experience God's power. They don't live in His victory. Not much is expected of them, and not much is found. The desert offers a low-risk, low-yield lifestyle. And there's a whole lot of people living that way, a whole lot of Christians living that way in our world today. And that's not where God wants us to be. God has promised us so much greater than that for you and me. Our personal walk with Him and for the ministry of our church. There's no doubt in my mind that God desires each one of us to deepen our faith in Him, to strengthen our foundation, to step just a little farther in our relationship with Him in Christ. There's no doubt in my mind that God wants us as a church to serve Him with more focus and commitment and boldness and joy. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those folks that I want everything I can get. I want all that God has for me. And I can say that. I'm not always, sometimes I get timid sometimes when it means taking that step or this step. But I want all God has for me. And I learned that when you apply for mediocrity, you know what you get? You get misery. You get misery. And God's not glorified. Doesn't glorify God at all. I want to experience the fullness of His presence in my life. I want to walk in His victory, whatever that might be. I want to dwell in the abundance of His blessings. I want the life that Jesus promised in John 10:10. Look it up, John 10:10. Life to the fullest. Life abundant. And that is the promised land. That is the promised land. That's where God wants us all to be. And that's why we go through this story of God's plan for His people Israel, but it's His plan for His people, period, for you and for me. God called the Israelites to enter the promised land, but there were barriers along the way. One was the flooded Jordan, and the others, of course, these almost impenetrable walls of Jericho. They were noted to be impenetrable. There would be many more hurdles to cross as they moved on into the promised land. But they couldn't even get started unless these major hurdles were gone. And here the Israelite army on the promised land side of the Jericho. No real weapons, very few men. And they were expected to take this city. Sometimes that might feel familiar. The fortress that standing between you and the life that God has for you, that almost impenetrable wall that you may feel that you're totally inadequate to conquer. But you know exactly, that's exactly where God wants you to be. That's exactly the place where God can bring victory. That's exactly the place where God can reveal Himself as the one true God. So God is calling, still calling, His people toward the promise. As the Israelites faced Jericho, what God was trying to impress on their hearts and their minds was to prepare them for living His promise on and on. You see, the promise is never going to be without obstacles. Never. But if we learn the life lessons of going into the promised land from the desert, they repeat over and over again. And one of the first things that God was teaching in chapter 6, in this battle for Jericho, was He was teaching that they would develop a daily routine of trust. Every day, trust. Walk, trust. Don't just get up and say, I'm going to trust Him. Trust in the Lord every step of the way. Look what He says in these verses 2 to 5. See, I have given Jericho into your hand. I like the way this is an ESV version, and I like what it says, I have given. Past tense. Now they're still standing out in the field. I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And on the 7th day shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they have that long blast on the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people will shout with a great shout. The wall of the city will fall flat. The people shall go up, everyone straight before him. Right. Now, I know you know the rest of the story. But if that's all you knew, would you believe it? Would you believe it? You know, if I were to tell you that all we got to do is go out and we're just going to walk around Roanoke here. We're going to walk around our community, whatever. You know, our 20 blocks or 50 blocks or whatever. We're going to walk around this area and we're going to carry a big Bible out in front of us and we're going to have some horns blowing. You know, we want to be noticed, right? Everybody in the community is going to know who we are, right? And we're going to do all that and we're going to do it 7 days. And on the 7th day, we're going to do it 7 times during that day. And then the horns are all going to blast and the whole city is going to come out of their homes and they're going to come and seek the Lord. Now, if I were to tell you that, would you believe it? No, I don't think so. You'd probably say, a little bit, poor old Don, he's lost his mind. A little bit far-fetched, right? Well, there's a lot of people who came up with excuses for how the walls of Jericho fell, too. You know, I've heard those stories. Maybe you have. All those people, there's a lot of people. Israelites, that was a big bunch of folks. Not a lot of fighting people, but a whole lot of people. And they're stomping around Jericho. That's shaking the ground. And, you know, weakening up those walls. 7 days worth, 7 times on the 7th day. Walls fell down from the vibration, right? You believe that? That sounds pretty lame. God didn't explain the details. God didn't tell them how it was going to work. God just told them to do this crazy thing. He told Joshua and the people what he expected them to do. He tells you and me what he expects us to do. As strange as it sounded, this bunch trusted him. And they did it. They did it. In verse 11, so he, Joshua, caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going around it once, and they came into the camp. They spent night at the camp. On the second day, verse 14, they marched around the city once, and they returned into the camp. And they did that for 6 days. Day after day, the people of Israel marched around the city. I'm sure they had no idea what this ritual would accomplish. But they did it anyhow. They did it anyway because they trusted God. And they trusted His promise. They trusted His promise. We have our instructions too. The daily routine that God has called for us to do. Spend time in His Word, right? I mean, that's not considered to be optional. It's considered to be a requirement. Spend time in prayer. Do your job. Go to work. Does that sound godly? You know, there is a place in this book that says if you don't work, you don't eat, right? God likes work. He put Adam and Eve in the garden, and work was their duty. Work's not bad. Work's good. God calls us to love our family, show kindness to others, to be a witness to His grace, His forgiveness, His mercy, His power. That's how you march around the city, you see? That's how you march. When you look at the fortress that stands between you and the promised land, you might wonder what difference any of this really will make if you change your situation. How's it going to do that? Remember this. You're simply to trust and obey, just like the song says, trust and obey. God brings the walls down. We don't. God brings the walls down. And God sets the standards for how it's done. He says, read His Word. He says, pray. He says, love one another. God told the Israelites to follow these things, these orders, these directions for 6 days. And on the seventh day, victory would come. And it did. For you and me, it might be 6 days. It might be six years. It might be 60 days. Who knows? We just are to keep doing what we're supposed to do until God brings the victory. Simply trust and follow in the steps God has given to us. If you're facing a fortress, maybe of a failing marriage, who knows? You already know you can't change your spouse's mind. You can't change his feelings. You can't change their ways. You can't make them do anything. We've been there, right? This is the wall that you can't bring down on your own. But you can march around that city every day. You can continue doing what you ought to do. That's the routine that we talk about. That every day. You can speak kind words. You can take loving actions. You can make sure your heart is right with the Lord and as much as possible with your spouse. You can do that every day. As long as it takes, you can walk with God around that city. If your fortress is a struggle with sin, or a struggle with addiction, or a struggle with depression, it's the same thing. It's the same truth, the same lesson. You can bring those walls down only with God's help. Only with God's help. You can surround yourself every day with the little things you know you ought to do. You can say, today I'm going to pray. Today I'm going to spend time in God's Word. Today I'm going to work. Today I'm going to find someone to help me. Today I'm going to serve someone. Today I'm going to look ahead to when God brings this fortress to the ground. Keep marching around that city. One act in and of itself will not make a whole lot of difference usually, but a daily trust adds up. And that's the key. You don't solve a weight problem by taking one walk and skipping a meal. We all know that. I couldn't tell you how many times I've tried that. You don't solve anything that way. Second thing God was teaching these Israelites and us in this lesson is to obey even the small stuff. Obey even the small stuff. Look at what Joshua said to the people in verse 10. You shall not shout or make your voice heard. Neither shall any word go out of your mouth. Now that's small stuff there. Until I tell you to shout, then you shall shout. You see the details? Obey even the small stuff. Actions speak louder than words. We've got to do the details. You see, it isn't so much about sound, it's about focus. It's about focus. When we talk and make a lot of noise, we draw attention to who? To ourselves. And if it's in the context of God, we draw attention to ourselves and away from God. When the people of Israel were marching around the city of Jericho, they weren't calling out to the folks on the walls. They weren't taunting those on the other side. Hey, Jericho, watch out, we're coming. That kind of stuff. They didn't say anything. God's orders. Don't say a word. Don't say a word. They knew that they weren't going to do anything about those walls. God was. They kept their words to themselves and did what they were told to do and were able obediently, silently, just walk. Walk around that city. Victory in the Christian life is more connected to what you do than to what you say. Always. Sometimes we put too much emphasis on talk. And too often it adds up to empty promises and egotistical grandstanding. Instead, God would say, don't shout. Don't even talk. Just make sure that you do every detail of what I've told you to do. Remember, it isn't about us. God is providing His promised land. We can't earn it. We can't make it happen. We can only do every detail of what He says, of what He tells us to do. We can only follow. When you're against a wall, don't talk. Obey. Obey. Another lesson in this passage is that we need to stay focused on God. We need to be devoted. Devoted to Him. Verse 19, on the seventh day they rose early and at the dawn of the day, and they marched around the city in the same manner seven times this day. And it was only on that day that they marched around the city seven times. And at the seventh time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you, keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take away the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold, every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord, and they shall go in the treasury of the Lord. Now this sets up a whole next story in the next chapter. Because every person in Israel didn't do that. They didn't listen to what God said and devote themselves, focus themselves on obeying every word of it. Every word. When you focus on what God has called you to do day in and day out, when you stay close to Him, Keep Him in the center of everything. There will come a day, a time, when you know you should shout, so to speak. When you know that the victory is there. When you know that the walls are just about to tumble. There will come that day of breakthrough, if you would. The financial problem will be resolved. The relationship will be restored. The job offer will come through. The cancer will be in remission. The addiction will lose its power. Whatever the wall, that day will come. And when it does, you need to be ready. You need to already have your heart in the right place. Focus. You need to remember everything that you have belongs to God. That I'm here not because of my own greatness, but because of His grace. I belong to Him. The battle is the Lord's. Decide now that you will settle for nothing less than absolute devotion to God on your part. That's what He asks. He's God. I guess we maybe should pay attention to that. Absolute devotion to God. If you do that, you'll see what happened to these Israelites happen to you. So the people shouted in verse 20, and the trumpets were blown, and as soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. Love it. Flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. There's another aspect to this absolute devotion or focus on God that I want you to see. Look at what he says in verse 18. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction. Remember how that's kind of awkward, isn't it? Those wording in it. Lest you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing of destruction. God has devoted certain things. The word devoted kind of throws us off a little bit. He set apart certain things that were to be taken from the city, other things to be utterly destroyed. Utterly destroyed. The riches of the city, the silver, the gold, were to be taken into the Lord's treasury. No spoils of war here. No spoils of war. God had ordered that the entire city be destroyed and those certain items taken to the treasury, and only Rahab and her family were spared. Everyone else, everything else. Sounds drastic, it sure does. Feels pretty uncomfortable for most of us. But the city of Jericho was a product of sin. All obstacles to God's promises are products of sin. And God takes sin seriously. He wants it gone. He wants it gone from your life and my life. And because sin has a power to infect and to infest and to destroy. You can't live the old life in a new place. That's what God's saying. Trying to teach that. Wish He could teach that to us. We can't live the old life in a new place. You can't live in Canaan like you did in the desert. Neither can you live in Canaan like the rest of the world lives. If you want to live in the promised land and if you want to live in victory, then decide now. You need to decide. Is your life fully devoted to God? The culture of sin can't peacefully coexist with the culture of holiness. It can't. You can't dabble in both. And we love to keep our foot on one side of the fence and the other foot on the other side of the fence. But if you live in His promises, you've got to live in purity. Be holy as I am holy, God says. It's not an option. It's a command. Live in purity. Trust fully. Obey completely. Given of your heart without reservation. Not really possible in the flesh. but oh, so possible in the Spirit. Jesus died that we could do that. He died that we could be able to live in the promised land. I would venture to say that every one of us here is facing a fortress, maybe several. Something that stands between you and all that God has promised you. You and a full life, a blessed life, the promised life, the abundant life. That fortress may seem strong and impenetrable, but I want you to know that God can make any wall come tumbling down. He's done it before, and He can do it again. You can't. You can't do it on your own. You can't. But here's what you can do. We can develop a daily routine of trust. We can develop a routine that just becomes sort of ingrained in us. That's what routines do. Do you know what needs to be done? Believe the promises of God. You can get in the habit of obedience. Not talking, not drawing attention to yourself, not diverting, but remembering it's all about God. All about God. It's never all about you. You can focus absolutely on God. You belong to Him. And all that you have is His. Give yourself to Him as completely as you can. And then one by one, obstacle after obstacle, wall by wall, you'll hear God say, "Shout! Shout! For the Lord has given you the city." He will take the walls down. I know sometimes it may surprise us, but God loves us. The Almighty Creator God of everything that is, He loves us. I know you won't ever figure that out, but He does. God loves you. And God loves this church. First Evangelical Presbyterian Church. Whew, mouthful. But He loves it. He loves this church. And He doesn't want any of us in a desert wilderness. He doesn't want us out there. He wants us in His promised land. He wants us living in the fullness of His promises. And that's where our joy, and that's where our blessing, and that's where our purpose will be fulfilled. That's where He will be glorified and honored. We need to quit making excuses or acting like things are as good as they can be. Maybe it's time to take down some walls, to allow God to purify our love and devotion to Him and to each other.